T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Eric Eager, Vice President of Research and Development at Pro Football Focus, joining us now. Eric, how are you? And jump right in. Feel free.
Oh, I mean, what speculation there? I mean, I grew up in the Midwest. I like the city of Chicago. I would not leave the city of New Orleans for the city of Chicago. I saw bait in that. I don't that part escaped Mr. McFadden. I think.
Yes,
in that regard.
I agree.
Additionally, the Bears are. I mean, the Bears have a young quarterback. That certainly, you know, is a feather in their cap. He didn't play the greatest this year, but obviously, Drew Brees wasn't exactly. Well, Drew Brees had good years in San Diego, but first few years of Brees weren't the best in the NFL. And Peyton made him into a Hall of Fame quarterback. So I could see the allure, but Chicago's roster is very good, you know, and. So I don't know. I don't see the appeal of Chicago specifically, for Peyton, given all he's accomplished in New Orleans and, you know, the opportunities that are still there, you know, to sort of build his own legacy with that franchise separate of Drew Brees.
Now, Eric, what would be your take, like, because different teams and all that, the speculation seems like it's every year with Dallas because he has a Dallas connection there with Jerry Jones. But Sean wouldn't want, Sean would not want Jerry Jones aggravating him, you know, constantly. If that makes
okay,
sense.
Jerry's a good drinking buddy, but to work with him is a different story.
Yeah.
As the head coach, now he did as an assistant, but it's different being an assistant coach than a head coach. And listen, drinking buddies and working buddies are different.
Yeah, I mean, Jerry Jones fired Jimmy Johnson after winning 2 Super Bowls in a row because he was upset about Jimmy getting all the credit in the world, right? And then, you know, the Barry Switzer hung on to that talent for a couple years. And basically, since then, they've won 2 playoff games, right? So, like, I don't necessarily know if Dallas is even that attractive unless, you know, Jerry would promise to do something he wouldn't even do for one of the best coaches of all time. And I think Sean is one of, you know, in that category too. But, like, if he couldn't control himself with Jimmy Johnson, what makes you think he could control himself with Sean Payton?
Now, you know, Eric, when you look at you know, boy, it's must-see TV when you look at the teams that are involved. And we don't know how it's going to play out. But I think the NFL would not necessarily want this type of game. Can you imagine, because they structured kind of the same way, can you imagine the 49ers and the Titans in the Super Bowl, Ryan Tannehill versus Jimmy G? I don't think the NFL wants that.
No, I think it's probably not. I mean, that's an interesting question. I think obviously if the Niners could get by the Green Bay Packers this
right.
week, they have a shot in the NFC title game because they're a pretty unique team. And I don't think, you know, they've beaten LA, what, 5, 6 times in a row?
And
Tampa Bay is banged up. So that could certainly happen. You know, the Titans, I think, have a much, you know, your guy Joey B going into Nashville. That's going to be a tough task for the Titans, in my opinion. But yeah, I mean, and to me, Buffalo and Kansas City are sort of the San Francisco and Dallas back in the day of
right.
the AFC. So I think it's going to be hard, but there's certainly a chance. And you know, you're going to see two. You know, we saw that on Thursday Night Football just a few weeks ago. It was a really ugly game. But that is a distinct possibility, and I think the NFL. would have a hard time promoting that as well as they promote, let's say, Buffalo, Tampa Bay, let's say.
Right.
Eric, one of the headlines to me, and it's a disappointing headline, I loved Super Wild Card Weekend, but the officiating was awful across the board. I mean, egregious mistakes. And in big moments, we're continuing to see this, and it's frustrating. You agree?
Yeah, I think so, and I think that was the biggest failure of the Dallas Cowboys at the end of the game was, you know, this assumption that the referee would spot the ball properly. Like, you, in some ways, you have to price in the fact that ref. And it was also, I know you guys are tuned in to Joe Burrow in Cincinnati, and you know, I live here in Cincinnati. I was at the Chiefs-Bengals game as well. And that was also part of the sort of end of game that Andy Reid didn't factor in was they're calling a penalty on every single dropback in this game.
That's
so,
about right.
You know, you if you're not, you have to just basically let them score and get the ball so that they'll call a penalty on the other team every single play. And you know, I think it's one of those things where, you know, and I went to the game. I wanted to see the Bengals win their first playoff game in 30 years and all that stuff. And it was just like in the middle of the game, I'm like, I didn't pay to watch these guys ref. I paid to watch Joe Burrow play, you know, and all this stuff. And I think the NFL really has to get a grip because, you know, the league is as popular as it's been for a long time. You know, I think, you know, they're doing great with ratings and all that stuff, but it's always it's a thin line, right? And if they don't resolve some of these issues that they're having with officiating and with, you know, some of the, I mean, it's embarrassing for the league at times. And I think if they don't resolve it, it's going to look bad for them.
Eric, I think one of the things maybe some people are sleeping on, and I know you're from Cincinnati, but when I look at that game, the Titans win a certain way. They play big boy football. They beat you up front. I see Cincinnati's defensive line. Man, a lot of injuries there.
Trey Hendrickson.
Yeah, their offensive line is nothing to write home to mama about. Joe Burrow makes that look pretty good because he's getting rid of football fast. I think it's going to be interesting where Cincinnati, you know where their bread is buttered. They want to throw the football downfield. Because they got the talent in Jamar Chase, in a Tyler Boyd, in a T. Higgins, getting it out in the flat to that Joe Mixon, that running back.
And Mike, when you think Joe Mixon has to have a big game, he had a big game the first time against the Raiders, but not in this game. I think versus the Titans, he needs to have a big game to help Joe Burrow.
And how Cincinnati will stop the rushing attack. The one thing with the Titans, listen, if they get 26 yards in the first quarter running the ball 9 times. So what? You know, Mike Rabel's like, hey, we're going to keep running it at you, and eventually the big guy's going to break one. I think where Cincinnati has the advantage in the pitch and catch part of the game, I think the Titans have the advantage up front, offensive, defensive line.
Yeah, I think when people were low on the Titans coming into the year, a couple of things they didn't factor in. One of them was how bad the AFC South is going to be. But also, the Titans on the defensive side of the ball, they got Bud Dupree, who ends up is probably their fourth best player up front. But people weren't pricing in sort of the ability of the Titans to develop guys like Harold Landry and develop guys like Jeffrey Simmons, and those guys have been very good this year. That's helped them deal with Caleb Farley's injury. That's helped them deal with defections in the secondary, and they've played well there on the offensive line. They have not been quite as good, and especially with Luan being injured at times and, you know, them already losing Dennis Kelly going into the year and stuff. But Derrick Henry was covering up a lot of that with yards after contact. But then weirdly, their running attack actually has not missed that. I mean, they've obviously they're not the same, but they're still averaging, you know, in the 120s, 130 yards a game running the football, even without Henry. I think their physicality is going to be hard on the Bengals, especially we saw Larry Ogunjobi carted off. Yeah. We saw Larry Ogunjobi carted off in the game against the Raiders. I think Reader is injured as well.
And
so
Trey.
Not quite as second up front. Yeah. And they're also a team that likes to play a lot of defensive backs, right?
Right.
Because they've invested a lot in the position. And so, you know, can they play a base 4-3 and be effective against the Titans offense? That's the biggest question if you like the Bengals in the game. Because I think that's really the reason they're underdogs.
Your thoughts on Christian Fulton and his development? I know I got to connect the dots with the Titans. And he had a great training camp. And he looked to be, he was fixing on really being a big-time star. He gets hurt, comes back. He's played pretty well. But your thoughts on Christian Fulton at that cornerback position, a guy who played here in the city and went to LSU. So your thoughts on Christian.
And your thoughts also on Eli Apple, because I think he's the weak link for the Bengals, because I know the Raiders were going after him.
Yeah, well, so Fulton this year actually very, very, you know, quarterbacks are less than 50% throwing his way.
Yep.
Their passer rating against him is 69.6, which, you know, is not a good passer rating in today's NFL. He's broken up 11 passes, intercepted 2. I think he's been, you know, a bright spot for them in a secondary where, you know, they really needed him to be. And, you know, last year's draft, they had that Isaiah Wilson at tackle in the first round. Of course, that was one of the biggest busts in NFL history. But they got a guy in Fulton who, because of injuries, because of random things, I think was a first-round pick that got taken in the second round. He looks to have been, you know, he looks to be a good draft pick for them. And he's developed nicely in year two, which is a good development, I think, for the Titans, because otherwise, you know, that secondary, it doesn't have a lot of depth. I think Eli Apple, interestingly, for the Bengals, just to your original question or your second question, he's taken over for Trey Waynes, who was a $14 million a year signing for them out of Minnesota.
Wow.
Trey Waynes sits the bench now, and they play Chidobe Awuzie, Mike Hilton, and Eli Apple. And I think, you know, given who they play, given their opponents, and you know, the history of the Bengals secondary over the last 4 or 5 years, you know, he hasn't been great, but I think that secondary as a whole has played well.
Well, I just compare him to Jack Rabbit and, you know, Bradley Roby type players.
Bobby would be the good agent for Jack Rabbit.
Yeah,
he really would.
I look at Paulson and Debo. I'm not a big Eli Apple fan. I think you've
You're going to make his mom mad.
Here we go again.
So what? His mom's too involved. His mom should just watch the game and go eat lunch with her friends. I mean, you know, you just have to stay out of it. But, Eric, I want to bring up the officials. Because we always talk about this. You know, we like a game when you have 8 or 9 penalties. Now, Dallas has 14 penalties. They had the most penalties. They were just under the Raiders as far as total yardage in penalties. But all 14 penalties? Hell yeah, it's a damn penalty. Dallas was so obvious. They so undisciplined. When you observe that, if it's defensive holding, instead of going to tackle the running back, they're tackling the offensive lineman because they don't want him to get to a second level. To me, you got to call that, even though it was critical at the end of the game. But I think the officials got that right.
Yeah, I think so as well. And that's the thing. I think part of the officiating issues that we're talking about are because we're getting sloppy football. I think we're getting sloppy football because they don't practice as much anymore. You know, unlike, you know, they did it, you know, I mean, in your day, they played 2-a-days and stuff like that. Like now, you know, and now there's, you know, there's less practice time. And also there's COVID. There's, you know, we don't have as much COVID players sitting out in the playoffs. But, like, I think it's both and, right? It's the officials, I think, are maybe a little bit inserting themselves into the game too much. And I think it's partially, you know, some sloppiness, and especially along the offenses and offensive line and secondaries where, you know, the offensive line and the secondary only go as the weakest link go. And when, you know, guys are hurt more often and guys are, you know, out with COVID more often, the weakest link is generally speaking a worse player than normal. And that's why you see a little bit more penalties and stuff like that.
Eric Eager, VP of Research and Development at Pro Football Focus, host the PFF Forecast as well. Eric, thank you so much for the time.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Take care. Thank
you. Thank you. Andy, Bill, Keith, and you two at 504-260-1870. Are you buying or selling the Sean Payton rumors to Chicago or to Dallas or any other head coaching vacancy there is in the NFL? You buying or selling those rumors? 504-260-1870. I'm selling. This is Sports Talk here on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.